7:24 on a Friday morning. Joining us now is our state representative elect for District 58B A.
A.
A 58A.
So close, Jeff.
Christy Purcell is with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Sorry about my tardiness.
You've had probably, I don't want to say a more interesting November than you've ever had before, but it probably has been a little bit different than some of the November and Decembers that you've had in
Indeed.
The past.
Would that Indeed. Be fair to say? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
After the elections in early November, you won the election for the representative seat. Let's talk about the last couple of months of the year. You're a representative elect right now,
mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the work. I'm presuming the work has already started.
Yes, I'm a first timer at this, so mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep a beginner's mind and just be curious and be learning. But it's been a lot.
Yeah, and you're not the only one. Let's start there. There's 30, 40 new members of the House, Minnesota House?
47.
47.
Are
wow.
the largest class, I think, in state history of new folks. Now, on my side of the aisle anyway, there are two folks who were elected in 2018. They lost in 2020, and now they're back. So they're not needing to do all of the orientation pieces that mm-hmm. I have been doing. And then there is there's a retiring senator who then ran for the House.
Okay.
So there are some people who have some experience, but are sort of new again, counted in that 47.
Now, the rest of the House does have some experience. Have you been talking with some of the more experienced members of the legislature here last month or so?
Oh, yes. because, so I'm wrapping up my work at Clean River Partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wanting to make sure that we transition in a good way and that, you know, I'm not shirking responsibilities there. So I have been really split focus professionally. So luckily, there are all of these experienced folks up in the legislature who have just really made themselves available to myself and lots of other first term incoming folks. I also feel really lucky to have Representative Todd Lippert, because he's not doing this job anymore. He's just been really generous with his time.
Now, do you get his office?
I actually physically am going to have his office.
Okay.
But that was kind of a just happenstance. So
okay.
Because there are so many, there are 19 of us in my caucus, to try, a lot of things are done seniority basis,
mm-hmm.
and with 19 of us brand new folks, they sort of put our names in a hat and drew lottery style. So mm-hmm. I was the fourth to last to get to choose my office, and Representative Lippert's office was one of those available, and I knew that he had already moved out, and so I snagged that one, and then I went to peek. We had 2 days of orientation Monday and Tuesday this week, and we stopped in the state office building, and I went with a new colleague of mine, and we both peeked at our new rooms that are kind of in a row, and mm-hmm. hers is very much still being used by the person who's going to just be switching locations, and mine had been painted and was sort of clean slate, ready to go, and so I'm grateful that I will perhaps get to move in a little sooner than he is,
right.
Or than my colleague, because he's moved out.
All right. Yeah. Christy Purcell is with us. Let's talk about some of your, I guess, objectives. Have you set out some priorities of what you would like to do or accomplish, or a direction that you would like to go when the legislature begins in a few weeks?
Yes. So we do not have our committee assignments yet. I have been able to request committee assignments. I'm really excited. Hopefully I can serve on the House Agriculture Committee, because being married to a recovering farmer, we farmed at our house for more than a decade. Michael's not doing that at the moment. He's working for the Community Action Center. But then in my job at Clean River Partners, I've gotten to learn from a lot of our farming neighbors, kind of mid-sized corn and bean growers, predominantly some grazing folks. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested and invested in rural communities, in our agriculture community, and making sure that farm families are supported. I've been endorsed by the Democratic Farm and Labor Party, and I haven't seen quite as much as I would like of that farm part showing up inside the inside the platform of my party. So that's probably my number one, is I want to be pushing from the inside, the Dems.
Now, do you have really any pull as far as that goes? Do you just get assigned what you get assigned? Can you lobby for that?
I hope so.
Okay.
I talk a lot about rural issues and agriculture, just, you know, when I'm talking with you and mm-hmm. And talking with constituents and my platform running. And I've also indicated that interest to the party leadership, as well as my requests for committee. So we'll see. Again, there's a lot of things done on seniority basis, so mm-hmm. I will sort of get what I get. But I hope I have made that that interest and passion known such that they'll okay. put me on the Ag Committee.
All right. Are there any other committees in particular that you're looking to gain a spot in?
Well, other areas that I'm super interested in, and so therefore have also requested perhaps being on committees, but we'll find out. And even if I'm not on the committees, I'm still, you know, committed to these issues. And being the child of two public high school teachers, now retired, and now I have two kids in our excellent public schools here in Northfield, I'm super invested in education, making sure we fully fund education. Also having struggled with our healthcare system on all sides as an employer, as well as a parent and an individual, having gotten Minnesota Care, purchased on the marketplace, MinSure, as well as trying to offer health insurance to my employees at the nonprofit. Very interested in improving our healthcare system that actually serves folks, especially in rural places where we're seeing hospitals close.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And I think the other one that I think a lot about is our democracy. So I really believe in the people, capital P people, and making sure that it's people who choose the leadership and not the other way around. And so making sure to have democracy really enshrined and strengthened. So those are the areas I've indicated I'm most interested in working, although I had a great conversation yesterday with our housing chair to talk about manufactured home parks, especially in light with what we all mm-hmm. hopefully are aware of what's been happening at Viking Terrace. I've also talked with the new owners at the Riverside manufactured home park, and talk about two different tacks of going about with new ownership. So the Riverside Park, they've really invested in widening the streets so that, I don't know, emergency vehicles could get to all the homes, looking at getting their water infrastructure so it's not so leaky and expensive, versus sort of the predatory behaviors that we've seen the new owners at Viking Terrace take. So talking with our housing chair about how to make sure that people, residents of those parks especially, feel like they have rights and that they have a voice too.
Representative-elect Christy Purcell from District 58A is with us. One of the things that you're going to be hearing a lot about is the headlines earlier this week. You know, we have a $17 billion surplus. There are going to be a lot of ideas on what to do with that money. I think we probably all have our own ideas. Do you have ideas on that? And that's something that the legislature as a whole is going to be dealing with. There are a lot of different ideas. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I was actually when the budget was released Tuesday morning, I was in my second day of a two-day orientation. So we had one right after the election, which we talked about last time I was here, and then we had these 2 days. So it's all of the incoming class, so Republicans, Democrats, and we were actually in our orientation to the state budget, like PowerPoint presentation, when the news hit about the $17.6 billion So there's a little bit of a, you know, we're like trying to ask the presenters from the budget office or, you know, the panelists who were there, like, what? So it was actually really a little disruptive, but also really great to have these experts there to say, well, you know, we had $10 billion at the end of session last year, but only about 2.2 got, you know, agreed upon to spend. So there's a lot of that carryover. Well, how much of this is one-time funds that's coming from, you know, COVID relief funds that came from the federal government? Well, how much is ongoing? And so it was really helpful because this is new to me. I know pretty well about nonprofit budgeting right now, and I've gotten to learn about school district budgeting, being on the finance advisory committee for our school district. But government budgeting, and with a number that big, that's brand new. So I was very interested to watch the press conference, as maybe other folks did too, of the governor and the leadership from both the House and the Senate to talk about priorities and how to do what we need to be doing with that. And it seems to me like there hasn't been a lot of tune change since the end of the 2022 session, which was fully fund our public schools. And there's already, you know, I think it's like $3.3 billion proposal that was in the hopper last time around that didn't get passed. So I think a lot of the priorities, at least from the Democrats, are the same. They just didn't happen last time around, and, you know, probably some tweaks to numbers here and there. I think also we want to just be sure that we're keeping in mind that things are costing more than they were a year ago. So $17.6 billion maybe can't go quite as far as if we would have had that number a year ago.
There's one. We only have time to talk one more issue, and that is legalizing marijuana, cannabis. The governor has indicated that he would be open to that. It looks like he may have be able to follow a lot of states which have legalized that. Do you have a view on that one way or the other? And what do you think we would need to do? What would need to be in the bill in order for it to pass?
Yes, I am pro adult use cannabis. I am maybe sounding like a little bit of a broken record, but I want to make sure that our farmers who are already growing hemp, or they're growing this product for CBD, not THC, I want to make sure that they're not left behind, and that as we do this, that we're thinking about our local growers and not just sort of farming this out to big pharma. So I'm pro this measure, and I think what we need to do, because what we saw this summer when it sort of came to light that, you know, a certain amount was allowable, there was no, because it wasn't comprehensive, communities like Northfield didn't know how are we supposed to regulate it? Well, what kind of licensure do we need to give? You know, who is it that we should be able to allow to do this? Is this every coffee shop? Is this just like our tobacco stores? So I think making sure that we're very clear and comprehensive around it is really important to just eliminate all the confusion that we saw this summer.
And we'll give you one last minute. Anything else that you'd like to bring up?
Well, I don't have an official email address yet, but once I do, I'm really interested in making sure that there's open lines of communication between myself and all the constituents who are listening and who are engaged. And I just really take this responsibility very seriously, and I appreciate you letting me have time to get to talk about what I'm thinking, too.
Well, hopefully we can do this on a regular basis.
Love
during
it.
The legislative
yes,
session.
Yes, let's do it.
Christy, thank you so much.
Thanks,
for
Jeff.
Coming in today. State Representative-elect Christy Purcell from District 58A. Rich is coming in with some news headlines. We also have news with a side of sports. McNiff on the way.
This news update is brought to you by Northfield Retirement Community. Rooted in Christian values, Northfield Retirement Community supports independence, dignity, and quality of life for the aging by providing innovative living options and services.
Now may be the right time for you or a loved one to consider joining Northfield Retirement Community. Leave behind the worry of home maintenance and repairs to join a supportive community welcoming you to your new home. NRC has a variety of housing options to enjoy with your own furnishings and available options of in-home personal care services. Reach out to our caring and compassionate staff when you're ready for a visit, or review all of our living options at northfieldretirement.org. Northfield Retirement Community, innovation, choice, tradition.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Brent Palm. Rural broadband projects in Minnesota are set to receive nearly $100 million as the state pushes to bring high-speed internet to the remaining communities that don't have access. Deed Commissioner Steve Grove.
We estimate will help 33,000 homes or businesses get online who are not online today.
Grove says this is the single largest investment in state history for broadband internet. Labor unions want the state to invest some of the projected $17 billion budget surplus in transportation and water infrastructure projects. LIUNA, Minnesota and North Dakota spokesman Chris Fredson.
We believe that now we have more than enough money to make the necessary investments to make infrastructure safer. And we need new dedicated revenue to make sure that these investments are for the long term.
Fredson says it was a disappointment in May when the legislature failed to pass a bonding bill for public works projects. And the Gopher men's basketball team got thumped by Michigan 90-75 at Williams Arena.